Welcome to Creating Cashflow for June 18th, 2023. Is it now? Yes.
Yes.
And Helen, if you want to stay after, we can continue that if you want to. Yeah. All right. So, Cricket. I love this. So Cricket is a cashflow tiger. She's does film festival consultation on the side of her career. She has a deep knowledge and experience in this area. So you have a victory and you have a question. And I just love this. It's such a good thing to talk about. So you did an Ask Me Anything session yesterday. 8 people attended and it was a donation based. You made $110 and connected with some filmmakers and may get some new clients from it. So yay on the victory of doing it. And what I love so much about your question and what we're going to talk about is you got some good data from doing this. You're like, huh, not sure I want to do it that same way as people. And so many people get nervous about doing something that they're not sure is going to work, or like, I don't want to make a mistake, or what if it's a, but you only get the good data when you do it. Do it to the best guess of what you think you should do. And then you can examine like, oh, I like this. I didn't like this. This didn't work well. This is what I'm going to change. Because now you just like have so much stuff for us to talk about and make it so much better. And by better, I mean better suited for your business, to enhance your business. So let me read your description of the event. I'm just so glad you did it. Okay. I feel like I gave away too much yesterday in the 90-minute Ask Me Anything session that actually ran 105 minutes. I did a great job if I were teaching a course that people had just paid $50 for, but I did this as a donation-based thing with the suggested donation being $15. I spent 3 hours going through people's questions carefully and even put together slides. Oh my goodness. I think I acted more like an educator than a business person. Good piece of awareness right there. Who's, you know, a business person who's using this session to attract clients. I like doing these kind of low-key sessions. I definitely want to do one in the fall about publicity materials. But I think I need to maybe stop doing the Ask Me Anything and start doing something that you can easily repeat, like 10 things to know about film festival, blah, blah, blah. Oh, so good, so good. Okay, so I want to hear your analysis. So things that you were like, okay, it went long. I spent a lot of time and energy preparing for something that I'm not being paid to do in that way. I feel like I gave more than I wanted to and maybe gave it in a way that didn't even serve my business better. Like it served your business fine. And I think you might even get clients from it, but there is a way to do that to where people don't leave full. Like, oh, I just had a big meal with Cricket, so I don't need to like contact her. I'll just go work on all that stuff myself. And that maybe instead of having to like deal with and prepare for fresh questions each time you do one of these, you can still have the kind of low-key thing, but do something that's more repeatable.
Right.
Anything right beyond those points?
Well, one thing that I felt like I have a way of strategizing for film festivals that works. And it was very interesting because somebody in the group asked me a question during, so I had asked people to email in the questions before, like someone else that we know who was on this call. You may remember, Christine, I did one in November, same thing. So mm-hmm. Now I have the questions from 2 different sessions. And I think you had at that time suggested that I might get to a point where I want to do more of a class than an Ask Me Anything. But I felt like I answered some questions in depth that I wish I were being paid for. And then sometimes people ask questions that are very specific about their films, and it's very hard to answer those questions unless I've seen the film. And that is an investment of my time, the time to watch the film, the time to think about it, the time to analyze it. And then what really hit me is that a woman who is an actor who's generating her own projects, which so many people are polyhyphenates and doing different things. She asked me if my strategy works for anyone and anyone with a film, like it's not just a filmmaker. And I paused and I said, what I'm telling you, I had to think it through. And I said, what I'm telling you is based on 6 years of working at a 50% international school with people who have master's thesis projects, filmmaking, acting, cinematography, producing. Like, so I just thought it through and answered the question. And I said, yes, this strategy works. It works. And I just realized, wow, it does work and it is special. And I didn't give them the exact questions that I give to the filmmakers I work with. Mm-hmm. I talked about those very generally, but I have like 12 questions that I ask, and I gave them like a highlight of four aspects. But I feel like there may have been ways that I could have said things like, when I work with clients one-on-one, we drill into these areas a lot more. Like, I think I didn't say things like that. I did not say things like that.
Yeah. This is so normal for someone in your situation, meaning you've been an educator for years. You just have this educator perspective on right now. And it is a different skill set that you need for doing something like this in a way that is pushing people towards working with you.
Right.
Rather than answering all the questions in the room kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think your biggest challenge is simply going to be, am I answering questions, be it at a live event or whatever? And am I presenting information in a way that's like whetting their appetite and getting them interested and getting them to trust me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose, not educating them.
Right.
The purpose when you do things like these kind of events, whether you're charging $50, by the way, charging $50 doesn't mean you give them the whole mm-hmm. story either. But when you're doing free things or when you're doing like low cost things, mm-hmm. the purpose is to make them aware of what they don't know. There are 10 things you need to know before you go to a film festival, before you start submitting your film for festivals, that will ensure you don't do this or lose right. thousands on the back end or whatever. No. Oh, yeah. Well, what are those 10 things? What are the 10 things? And then you can tell them in general what the 10 things are.
Mm-hmm.
There's this. And when I work with clients, what I'm looking for in film, I'm really going through their film and making sure they have a couple of things that are necessary. You're not telling them what those things are, but you're saying I'm looking for them. Like, so it's much more like they leave going, the value they get mm-hmm. is, oh, I should, this is my checklist. Somehow I've got to check at least some of these boxes before I start submitting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ask themselves, do I know how to check the boxes?
Right.
how am I going to check the boxes? Maybe I should hire Cricut. You want to make them aware that there are boxes to be checked.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're probably aware of three of them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
That is very true. And it's really interesting because at my work, we had to do a SWOT analysis, which mm-hmm. if y'all don't know what that is, I just learned it's S, strength, W, weakness, O, opportunity, T, threats. And I realized, and I did use this language yesterday. Here are the big three threats to your successful film festival run.
That should be the topic. That should be the title of one of your freebies.
Yes, it should.
I need to know. What are the big three threats? Oh my God.
What are the big three threats?
You're not going to tell
them. Or the 10 threats.
Yeah. How to solve it. You're going to tell them that there's threats.
There's a threat. Yeah.
And you identify the threat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, kitty, kitty. And then you say, you know, and this is what I help people.
Yeah.
Figure out how to
navigate.
Yeah.
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 That's what it should be. Yeah. Like top 10 threats to a successful film festival run.
Or top three, by the way. It's not about quantity. It's about something they need to know. And then mm-hmm. you can kind of drill into it a little bit. So you just ask yourself, like, is it more valuable for me to do 3 or 5 or 10? Uh-huh. Like, you just figure that out depending on like what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? The three that I did were all strategy issues. But what I could do is do strategy as one issue and then have two other ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then during the Q&A mm-hmm. of your freebie or whatever, you're not even then necessarily answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
You want to answer questions, but also make people aware that there's more questions on top of that question.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
There are more questions on top of
that. So if you were attending a freebie that I was doing right now, right here in Cashflow,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, you know, I did this free thing and this happened. And I really think I would say to you, I love that you had this awareness that wasn't quite right. And it sounds to me that there's like 4 or 5 things. You're like, what about this could have changed? This could have changed. Mm-hmm. And I very often help clients make those like little tweaks, sometimes micro adjustments that make all the difference to then attracting more clients. So one, they can repeat what they do again and again, and they're not spending as much time as you just spent preparing for this thing that didn't actually get you the, you know, so I'm telling you, I can help you with this. Yes, yes, yes. These are common little things, but I'm not telling you what they are.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sit here and be doing what we are doing right now.
Right. Right.
So you want to say things like, oh yes. Or, oh, I had this client who had a very similar thing to you. And, you know, we did a few things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too much, but it was just little. Sometimes it's just the little things that make the difference. And then sometimes people are doing a whole strategy that's like, that is not going to work. And it's a joy for me to be able to save someone from expending time and money that they don't need to.
And I think that is part of the issue is that people do not know the sheer amounts of money that they can throw down the drain in this process.
That could be a whole topic for one of these freebies. The 5 biggest ways filmmakers throw money down the drain.
Yeah.
And why they don't have to, and why you don't need to do that, and how to save yourself from doing the same thing. Yeah. Okay. What you're going to get good at is learning how to field people's questions and answering them in a way that, that is educating them, but that's telling them you need more help.
Basically. Right. Right. I'm educating them on the fact that they need more help and they need to book me.
Correct. Correct. Okay. That is literally the, if you're wearing that hat, you will do things differently. And it's, this isn't going to be hard for you. I'm just telling you, oh yeah, yeah. You were wearing your educator hat. And you need the business person's hat.
I need the business person's
hat. And you need to tell your little inner educator, calm down. You have a big heart. I know you want all these people to get all their questions answered.
It's true.
As soon as they pay me money, I will do that.
Yeah.
But don't worry.
Yeah.
The other thing is you might find, you might get a person who asks you a question. And then, you know, you're like, okay, here's my answer. And then they're like, oh, and this, they have like four, of course they have 1400 questions.
Yes. Yes.
So the second time they're like, all you say to them is like, I love you. You're just soaking this up like a sponge and I love it. And the way I know you're soaking it up is because you have another question and you have another question. And that's the thing. You have a lot of questions. And for you to go the distance with your film, you got to get those questions answered.
Yeah.
This isn't the forum for you and I to drill deep though.
Yeah.
So I really strongly encourage you to give yourself the gift of getting those questions answered. And you have two options for that. You can go poke around the internet. Those answers are out there. But if you want it to be faster, and if you want it to be delivered to you with your exact project in mind, that's when you work with somebody like me.
Yeah.
It goes faster and it's very personalized to your project. But you need to get those questions answered. You see? So you're like, you acknowledge it's great if a person has a million questions, but you've got to tamp that down and be like, this is not the forum.
Yeah. Not the forum.
Yeah. And that's good for you to remember when you do live stuff and people come up to you after.
Right.
I love that you're so enthusiastic. I love that you have, you're like vibrating with questions and it would be so good for us to have a conversation. So if you ever want to do that, here's my website.
Here's my website. Here's my information sheet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody wrote me afterwards. So mind you, I stayed late and answered more questions than the ones that were sent to me. And they asked me a question about a festival that I used to work for. And I got that. And I just thought, why didn't you ask me yesterday when you had my attention? And so I wrote them back a really polite, quick answer and then said, if you have any other questions, please don't hesitate to book me. And here's my rate sheet. But I think that there's just, I don't know what exactly it is. Maybe it's just the internet and email in general or AI, but people really want quick answers. And I get that quick question thing all the time. And I was thinking, you know, my answer is like a fine wine. It's been aging for 30 years and it has $135,000 worth of student loan debt attached to it.
So, okay. This is really, really important. I want you to hear this and let it seep into all of your pores.
Writing it down.
You're in charge of making sure you don't have those kind of resentments. You being resentful that someone asks you a question is unnecessary. It's a drain of your energy. And people are people. And people are quick. They want to, like, you know, in the Matrix, plug that thing in the back of their head and just know everything.
Right.
And anybody who's lived on Earth a little bit is like, oh yeah, you're going to have to acquire that knowledge. Like, but your job is your first job, your marketing job before you do your actual job of film consulting, your marketing job is to teach people that they're going to need to learn some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, I know they just graduated from school and they think they wish they knew everything, but there's more to learn.
Yeah.
So your job is to be like, yeah, there's more to learn. Yeah. I get a lot of like, oh, I just want to ask you one thing. And someone asked me a question. I'm like, here's the problem. I can't give you an answer because before I can give you an answer, I need to ask you five more questions.
Right.
I need to ask you five questions.
Right.
That's my response.
Yeah.
So we need to have a conversation. Like, I don't even answer. I don't even try to answer the question.
Yeah.
Because then I'm just giving them some like general thing.
Yeah.
So, and nor am I open for business. So you can always say, in order for me to answer that question, I first need to ask you five questions.
Right.
So I can give you an answer that really is specific to you and your situation project.
Yeah.
Feel free to book a conversation. Like that's so... when you protect your boundaries, you have no resentment. People are going to ask. People are going to assume they can get it all in one quick question. But you don't have to begrudge them that. That's just humans. Let them be humans. And you protect your boundaries.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, if we were to do that whole day over again, that whole ask me anything, and we get close to the 90 minute mark, what could you have done to wrap that shit up at 90 minutes?
Well, one thing I was thinking about is I could have just not answered questions. I could have said, like, we're at time, like, I hope this has been helpful. I'm going to send you some follow-up information. But I actually asked if anyone had questions.
Okay. So that's one thing you asked, but you invited.
I did invite them.
Why? What triggered you doing that?
Because I am so accustomed to being an educator and that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want everyone to know everything.
Yes. Yes. And
I want to be helpful.
Yes. So people pleasing, helpful, educator, big hearted, yep. Like it's all great. I've spot that. The reason I see that is because I had to teach myself how to be okay with the fact that I had a lot of answers that could benefit them. It kills me on just cash flow that we only have two sessions a month now going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much, you know, to tell
people. Yeah.
I have to keep it to 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
For me, for Miata, for just the way the business flows, like everything. And a little part of me is like, these questions, you know,
it's
hard and it's painful, but that is the business I'm in.
Yep.
And that is the business you're in, because sometimes I feel inspired to stay a little longer, but every time I stay longer, it's chipping away at my bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you have to put the kibosh on it and deal with your feelings.
Yeah.
Instead of, well, if I answer all the questions then I don't have to deal with any weird feelings about disappointing people. But I'll tell you what, you're going to have the feelings, and the feelings are going to be resentment for like, why are these people taking? It's like, no, you're giving.
It's true.
Yeah.
I was very proud of myself. You told me no more coffees. And I practiced no more coffees.
Yes, big muscles.
And this is really interesting. I'll just say this really quickly because I know we have other people to talk to. But somebody attended my Ask Me Anything last November. And then I did have an hour-long conversation with her afterwards while I was driving to work. And that was sort of, she's a good friend of a good friend of mine. And so it kind of felt like more casual, and I didn't have any issues with that. And then she finished a film And she went ahead and started submitting it to festivals without consulting me. And she emailed me on Monday twice saying, I'm going to be in LA. Can we meet to discuss working together? And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not available. And I could have made myself available, but I was like, I will be so angry. I am so busy. And she had all the information she needed to hire me 6 months ago.
Yep.
8 months ago. So I'm really proud of myself.
That's huge. That's huge. And that's called just valuing yourself. And I want you, Cricket, to have this energy in your business because you're maintaining boundaries where you don't have to hate people. It's like, I love people. God bless them in their weirdness. And then the ones who want to work with me can work with me. And if you don't, it's not like, no, I'm not going to have coffee with you because you should have done
right.
it. I don't want that energy. I'm not right. saying you're giving it to me, but it's so easy to like switch into that. And it's 100% not necessary. You can have a lovely business that feels lovely most of the time.
Well, and what I realized is that I did send my rate sheet. I did say, like, here's something for you to think about. And that is, I think it was a good exercise for me. And I didn't feel any resentment. I was more like, I am so busy right now that drive across the city for coffee is not going to happen. It's just, there's no way. But the one thing that I realized is that I do have to take care of myself in this, and that I can be polite and friendly and say, this is how I work. And that was a big shift for me. This is how I work.
Yes.
That was kind of like, oh, yes. I don't have to jump. I can say how I work. I can determine that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And outside of another little, you know, answer to people is, oh, outside of my normal business hours, my consulting brain just needs a rest, gets put on the shelf. So I do not talk shop outside of my business hours.
Yeah.
But we can totally have a conversation. Here's the link.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
So the next challenge is for you to respond exactly as you did to this person, even when someone contacts you on a week where you have all the time.
Oh, yes.
Because it's not about like, oh, but I'm so busy. It's like, no, I just don't do that.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, last time you and I talked about 20 minutes, like if somebody has a quick question, like a friend of a friend or a party or something. And I think that's going to, I haven't been confronted with that yet, but I will use that.
Yeah. And when you feel genuinely inspired to talk to somebody for as long as you want to talk to them, you can feel free. Like, it's not like you have to be so like, not that I do free stuff all the time, but only on my terms and only when I feel like it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's usually me offering. Like, we should talk about that. You know, like it just comes out of, but you know, the difference between inspiration and like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the main thing I'm realizing is that I just need to think about this as a business and not as an educator. When I walk out of the school and I go into the world, I need to put on a different hat.
Mm-hmm. That is the biggest thing you need to do to solve all the stuff that you just wrote to me about. If you put your business hat on, you'll be in a different mindset.
Yeah.
And then I agree with you. I don't think ask me anything is the appropriate format. I think you can do Ask Me Anythings in other formats, mm-hmm. or like you give a talk and then you attach and ask me anything afterwards, yeah. or something like that. Yeah. But I think you coming forth with a topic, mm-hmm. and putting a container around what we're talking about is going to serve you better.
I think so, moving forward.
Yeah.
I really do. But now I have all these questions that I know filmmakers are concerned about, and so I can build it.
Oh, no, this 100%. That's why I was so excited to get this, because that was those two that you've done so far. Not a waste of time.
No.
You were like, the fact that you only needed to do two to reorient you to how you are going to do it in the future. People, I kid you not, people do stuff like for years.
Oh, wow.
Years. And like, these aren't working. These are exhausting. I'm like, yeah, don't do it like that. You did two and you're like, nope. And then set you up now for business.
Out, hat,
and you're going to be like,
yeah.
So your learning curve was so short. And you did it. And you were willing to not do it perfectly.
Right.
And that's how you get to like, oh yeah, this is what works for me. That's how you get there. You can't get there usually without going through what I call the ugly of like, oh, that doesn't feel so good.
Right.
You
right.
did it.
Yes.
So proud.
Thank you so much.
Just talking to you today, because this was a big shift. I read this and I'm like, oh, she just like really turned a corner here.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we talked and you're just like, I think I want to do this. It's just like, and you have just have a business now. And now you've figured out how to engage new potential clients, and yeah. you're just really off to the races in a very short amount of time. Congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah
it's been about a year since I think it's been a year since I
yeah, joined. It was around. Yeah.
So that's very exciting. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Cricket. That was a great, great thing for other people to then listen to this recording.
Okay.
Yes. Vivian. Hello.
Hi, Christy.
Hello. Her victory, ladies and gentlemen, is that she's back. Ta-da! What she says is a year of procrastination, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're back in gear. And Cashflow Kitten. So this is what you wrote. You're up to date with your taxes. Woohoo. And you've had Girl Love Yourself Now Incorporated. Girl Love Yourself Now Incorporated for 5 years with the mission of empowering women with self-confidence and self-esteem. And beginning June 17th, you'll begin your education to become a licensed anesthetician.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you had two questions. I'm going to read them both because they're both kind of together. I don't know how to make money with Girl Love Yourself Now. I've created live events, but because I've partnered up with other nonprofit organizations, I wasn't allowed to charge money. The only event I ever made any money at was a beauty event that you co-produced in 2021 in New York City. So how can you begin to merge Girl Love Yourself Now with your education as an anesthetician so that you can generate money in the, you know, the next 6 months? So let me ask you some questions just to get my bearing. Are you sensing there's going to be overlap between Girl Love Yourself Now and your anesthetician stuff, or are you thinking those will be very separate and you just want to earn money in both?
I would like for them to overlap.
Okay.
It would probably make my life easier. And also because they both have to do with self-esteem, mm-hmm. you know, skincare, beauty. So I don't know if the universe first gave me the idea of Girl Love Yourself Now, and then the universe presented esthetician to bring them together. And so it's kind of weird.
Did I pronounce that right? Was I saying S? It's esthetician.
Esthetician. Or... I don't even know. Some people say esthetician. I esthetician. Okay. I've looked it up and it means the same, but it's spelled differently. And
So what are you going? Educate me a little bit about what you would be doing in that field for women. Like, is it facials or what is it?
Yeah, as an esthetician, after I graduate, I'll be able to work as an educator, on skincare, skincare treatments. If you have acne problem, if you have scarring, if you have lines and wrinkles, if you have pigmentation, I can also work doing facials. I can work with a plastic surgeon. I can manage a spa. Yeah, there's different ways I can go. I'm also seeing how the world is going. I would really like to have a platform, a digital platform, because I know I can physically work at a spa. But what happens if one day we get another epidemic? What happens if AI comes in and helps the esthetician, so that would take off my workload? So, I just need to be prepared for those scenarios. And not that I'm being negative, but it's possibility. And I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah. And how long is the education going to be, starting on the 27th?
Oh, it's 4 to 5 months. So I should be done by October, December.
Okay. And as you build a digital platform, are you interested in finding work somewhere, like in person at?
Oh, yeah. I would love to work in person at a spa. Okay.
Yeah. So you're sort of like, that would be fine for me to do. But meanwhile, and I also want to build something in case this ever.
Yeah, in case this ever, or to also build this, because I need to also generate clientele.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then when you think about Girl Love Yourself Now, who are you talking to? Who is your audience? Who are they? What is their problem that you're trying to help with?
Okay. When I was doing events in New York, I would partner up with nonprofit, because I partnered up with nonprofit organizations because they had the venue. A venue is very expensive. So yeah. I didn't have the budget to pay for a venue at the time. I mean, there is also restaurants that you can rent the back of a restaurant and have women events there. I just didn't have the time, the money, or the space, the mind space to do that. So I just I like to work with other people anyway. So I partnered up with women in media. So mostly we would do events with film directors and other actors and writers. And we would all talk about how we overcame our self-confidence, our blocks, in order to succeed in the area of their career. If it was a director, how she was able to finally reach success as a director, and what was her confidence problem, and it was an actor, what blocks they went through. So we had those kind of events and conversations. I didn't talk much. I just organized everything because I just didn't feel I had the language. I was to talk about self-esteem. And even though I live it and walk it, but I just don't. I'd rather have other women talk about it for now. So, yeah.
And when you envision what you want Girl Love Yourself to be, what is your dream? What do you want it to be? And who are you talking to?
Because it was a diverse of women, it was like there was no age really or no ethnicity. And it was like from 20 to 80 year old women. But to be more specific, I think I would want to talk to women around my age group, between 45 and 65. I think it's, I mean, and also if I'm going about, and there's a lot that, that women are going through. And I think that I would, like what kind of expert I would be in, like right now, there's a lot of women that are, I don't know. I think I want, it sounds boring, but I would love to talk about menopause. Cause I think.
It's a topic. I just finished a book on it. Cause it's like, oh, it's coming down the pike. It's not boring if you're, it's not boring if it's part of your life.
Yeah, it's because this, you know, because of our stress level, women are going into perimenopause at 35, 40. And then that's when fertility starts kicking in and women are freaking out because they can't get pregnant. And then they just feel bad about themselves. And I see how everything is on them. Like they can't have a baby. It's their problem. It's something's wrong with them. You got to fix them. And I just feel like, you know, you got to just take that off of you. And then when you go through menopause, oh my God, all the physical like things that happen to your body, you just feel like you're over, life is over. You know, it's like, and then you know, and then we associate ourselves with what social media perceives as a woman is young, beautiful, and vibrant. And then that just really, really puts a woman in a position of defeat. And we really need women to be strong because our children are suffering. I mean, it's just, the, you know, children need to have their mothers and their aunties and their sisters strong for them because a lot of the men they have so much pressure, they can't be there. You know? So it's all on the women's. And so I think I would pick the subject menopause also for beauty, because when women start going through menopause, the skin changes. So that's when you start feeling more dryness and you start seeing more fine lines and wrinkles. You start seeing more. And, you know, and I think that a woman needs to be comfortable with that. Because if a man is comfortable with that, why can't a woman be comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is just like a lot of questions that I see that women would like to have a conversation about.
Yeah. And so when you think about these conversations you'd like to have, are you more like, do you really want them to be live events, or do you want it to be like a YouTube channel or videos that you put out on social media or like a podcast? Like, what do you see your digital platform looking like?
Yeah, I know. I think YouTube will be good, but I would really like to start like a little baby step. Like, uh-huh. I really want to start with something that's not overwhelming, something uh-huh. that I can just dedicate maybe 2 or 3 hours a week uh-huh. and that I feel I'm having fun with. Not that I gotta, oh, now I gotta edit it. Oh, now I gotta get time. But, you know, I just want to start little baby steps and then just give it time because, I mean, you know, this is a market that it's needed. And when I step out a little bit on Facebook or Instagram, I get overwhelmed with these women with so many questions and I don't have the time. I don't know how to monetize that need
mm-hmm.
that's out there.
Well, one way, I mean, when they have all these questions, do you feel like those are questions you are able to answer? Not, I'm not saying on social media. Do you have answers in your head?
Well, that's the thing that I don't have the answer. I just throw something out there and they, like I throw out like, oh, you know, when you start feeling overwhelmed because we're going through a huge time of depression because of whatever, you know, Also, how can I feel better? Like, what did you suggest for me to do to feel better? Because I just throw out I have a friend of mine who's just going through depression because, you know, social media is really affecting her and she thinks that she's not pretty enough. And I just had a conversation with her that, you know, you have to start working from within in order to know that your physical image is not everything, it's a part of it. So then how do I start having maybe like a 15-minute conversation or a 10-minute conversation about that? And what do I do with that information? Like, how do I don't know. I'm just like so confused.
Are you saying you're confused about having to answer people's like, are you saying you put out a statement on social where you were like, oh my God, I had a friend and had this discussion and this is something that kind of happens. Mm. And then someone came back to you and says, yeah, what do I do?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm asking you, if you were able to have a private conversation with that person going, yeah, what do? Do you have answers to that?
Yeah, I do.
Like, I'm wondering what you want to do for people. Do you want to have private conversations with them that they pay you for? Do you want to have like a YouTube channel where you're maybe answering questions that people send you and you're making those the videos and then maybe monetizing that in some way or just gathering an audience that can later be monetized? Like, what's your thought?
Well, I think that the easiest step for me then is to just start with being specific about what is self-esteem and what is self-confidence, and then just focus on those two subjects. And then just focus on just talking about what is self-esteem and what is self-confidence and how to use it. How do you use it in your life in order to make your life easier?
Mm-hmm. And when you think of girl, let's say it correctly, girl, love yourself now. How have you, I'm not looking for you to have a right answer. I'm just asking, like, how have you envisioned monetizing that? Or how would you like to make it a businessy type of thing?
Yeah, I wanted to hold events.
Okay.
I wanted to hold events and self-confidence events and self-esteem events and invite speakers and therapists. But that's like maybe that's like the big vision.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay.
So like there's an organization called Girl Boss. I mean, she's a really big organization, and she holds a lot of events.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something I can model after. It's really. When I first heard about her, it was like I started 2 years ago, then I saw her 2 or 3 years after. But events. But I think it would be more as now that I'm with my esthetician, I think I want to pull it more towards self-esteem, self-confidence, and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I would have the knowledge, the education on how to help women use skincare to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So then that would get me out of the psychological and more into the concept of beauty.
Yeah, that's totally fine. So let me just talk to you, because what we are talking about right now is cash flow. Mm-hmm. How can you make some money in the next 12 months? Okay. So events are not where you make money.
Mm-hmm.
You can with a large enough audience, with a streamlined system to put them on. But usually events are loss leaders. You might break even, but usually people hold events. If you really start looking around, they hold events and they upsell you to something else. They take a portion of those people that then pay them thousands of dollars to do something else. And that's what the event is really for. It's to introduce people to your concept and whatever. Or you just have such a large audience. And I don't mean like thousands and thousands of people, but if you have an audience of like 10,000 people, then you can get a couple hundred to come to an event. And if they'll pay for it, then you might make a little bit of money, but they're so physically taxing to put on. They take a lot of time to prepare for a good event. These days, usually you have to also have a virtual component to the event just in case something happens and you can't do it live and then virtual, but people can't always come to the event. So they kind of almost didn't expect a virtual option, but that means cameras and all of that to like have the live feed of the, it's a big deal. And it's even harder now than it was before because of the logistics after a pandemic and just everything is so much more expensive. And it's air travel is not going to get easier. It's only going to get harder as climate change changes. Exactly. So events, people will still do big ones like concerts or the Super Bowl, like once in a lifetime, or annual conventions. Those will still take place. But pre-pandemic, it was a lot more feasible for people to just like, I'll go to that thing, or I'll fly up to San Francisco, or like. So I'm not saying that in the future, you can't be doing your own events. But I would pull your brain back from that right now, because you can make money doing that on a much, much smaller scale. You could have salons, intimate circles. You could have girl love yourself now dinners where people pay, you know, $150 and everyone sits around the table and you curate a conversation and you facilitate it and everyone has a lovely time and meets people and gets a little goodie bag of stuff. So you can have smaller events too, if you want to satisfy, like, I love, love, love meeting people in person in a room together. Cause I understand that. I understand. I love that too. Way more than I wish we were all in a room together. Cause it's just a different texture, but you can also do intimate things online. So it's really about where are you going to start talking to people so that you can start wrapping your brain around what is my message? What am I really going to say? And the way you find that is just by starting and talking. And I agree, it should be a little thing that you can consistently do week to week to week. 2-minute video. You can choose a platform, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube if you want, but just pick the one you know how to use so you'll do it. Because later on, you can always have an assistant take all the Instagram videos and post them on YouTube. You want, here's a tip, pro tip. Don't film the video in the platform itself. Film the video and then upload it to the platform because then you have the video. If you shoot everything in Instagram, you can't, it's like there. It's, you know, it's an extra step, but if you're going to build
That's worth a lot of money. Thank you. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, if you can, it's not like it takes huge editing. You just need to clip the, you know, where you're moving the camera. But even so, people nowadays aren't expecting perfection. You can just start. I'd rather you throw up the videos and have them only be kind of okay and learn as you go and try to perfect everything. Because people are going to want, you have a lovely voice. You have a, you, the camera loves you.
Thank you.
You just have a lovely way of talking. It's very soothing.
Thank you.
It's just you know, there's lots of people talking about everything, but there's lots of people talking about menopause, but sometimes you don't like a person's voice, or sometimes they're like being too clinical about it. And, you know, you're going to look for the people who I'm like, oh, if I'm going to learn about menopause, I want to learn it from her. I'm going to have her talk. Cause that I click with you. You see, you're looking for people who click with you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. Everybody else doing stuff. But I think you need two things. One, you need to start making a little video about anything you want to talk about, self-esteem, beauty, stay in those. You said self-esteem, something.
Self-esteem, self-confidence, and beauty. Stay in those three things.
That's what you talk about. Mm-hmm. That's what you talk about. So I want you to, in the next 6 months, if you just set your goal of like, I'm going to do this every week, then what you need is an offer. What can people pay you for? What can people give you money for? So, and it would be better if you had something they could give you money for virtually, no matter where they are in the world. It could be to have a conversation with you. It could be to buy a little ebook you create. It's got to be something though. What are they going to give you money for? Do you have any ideas in that realm?
Yeah, it could be a little ebook. I think as I become more fluent and speaking about self-confidence, self-esteem, and beauty, I think that would create more credibility, it'll create more an expert feeling within me, in my mind. It would give me more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It would help my self-esteem.
Right. Yeah.
And what do you feel about, how do you feel about the platform LinkedIn right now I'm on LinkedIn because that's the platform I'm using to look for work in a spa after I graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a good platform to post videos, like a 1 minute video, or would you suggest the platform of Instagram Reels? And there's also Facebook, because I guess I have to test.
Right? Yeah, testing. I don't know enough about LinkedIn to be like, oh yeah, you should totally go there. The question is,
where are my people?
Questions. Where are your people? But also, where will the platform actually help you to reach people?
Instagram. Because I know LinkedIn is a lot of professionals, a lot of people, business people. So if a corporation would want to hire me to talk about self-esteem, or what does beauty have to do with self-esteem, then at least I would have a little bit of credibility.
Absolutely. I don't see any harm with posting on LinkedIn. I just don't know enough to be like, do it. The only thing I know is that as far as platforms go, Facebook and Instagram don't help you very much in reaching people these days. They want you to pay for the reach.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube works much more like a search engine. People go to YouTube and they search actively for things, and that's how they discover you. TikTok, the algorithm is much more about helping people find your stuff. But you have to be kind of a consistent poster on there for that to like work for you. But it's just, I think, a more friendly platform than Instagram as far as getting you exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like the magic could happen there. You have a better chance of magic happening there than on Instagram, from what I understand.
Yes, me too.
What's most important is for you to pick the platform that you feel most comfortable on, so it actually do the videos and post them, instead of having to like, oh, I've got to learn a whole other platform. I don't want to do it. And it sounds like you would like to be eventually speaking. So maybe LinkedIn is the thing of like, not only might you find clients there, but you also, you know, making professional connections there. So look into Okay. Not just how do I post video on LinkedIn, but how do I get people to see it? Do I have to tag it certain ways? Like, what's their deal? How do I use LinkedIn?
Okay. So I'll do a 1 minute, I'll do a 2 minute video this week and I'll post it on YouTube for homework for next week.
On YouTube? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And are you familiar with Rachel Hollis, the author?
No.
Okay. It's fine. You don't need to be familiar with her. I'm not promoting her whatsoever, but she's famous for two books, Girl Wash Your Face and Girl Stop Complaining or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which when I hear Girl Love Yourself Now, my brain immediately goes to like Rachel Hollis.
Oh, God.
She's kind of got the girl, ba-ba-ba-doo. And the other thing, I'm just, this is one person's opinion. This is just my Christine Aller's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There's several things I don't like about that name as far as like your brand.
Mm.
One is, now not everybody knows about Rachel Hollis. My brain is like, oh, that's like Girl Wash Your Face kind of thing. And every time I've read this and said it, and I have not been faking it, I've had a hard time remembering the now part.
Okay. Because
it doesn't flow. Girl, love yourself now. It's like, girl, love yourself now. It's sort of like I would, it's a stumbling block for the
brain. I love that you're saying this, Christine, and I appreciate it because I've also been wanting, I'm also debating whether I should just shut down the company and then start something new when I'm ready, because I haven't used it for 5 years. I've just been paying corporate taxes on it, and I can shut it down. And
I can't give you that kind of advice. Like, I don't know what's involved with shutting down a company, so I can't.
You just close it down. You just pay your taxes. Okay.
But as far as like, I mean,
the branding, yeah,
as your like your LLC or your incorporation name. Because people have names for their corporations that nobody ever knows. They just, that's the name of their corporation. But as far as like a brand for I'm the girl, love yourself now woman. No, especially because you start talking about perimenopause and menopause and the word girl.
Yeah.
That's too flippant for aunties who need to have strong shoulders because they're carrying a lot of weight like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not the brand that you are meant to build.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Build what you're trying
to do. It was when 5 years ago, that's who Vivian was. Yeah. Vivian is different now. Yeah. And I agree. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's definitely the hit I'm getting from that. It's like, there's going to be something else that's fits you like a glove. So that when people hear about it, and it's not like you have to have, you can just be Vivian, the woman who talks about this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have like some groovy name along with it. Excuse me. Because what you're doing right now, Vivian, is over here with this side of your business, you're in the exploration stage. And the best thing to do in that stage is allow yourself to just explore. You can always rip these videos down if you're like, ooh, I'm embarrassed. Like, doesn't matter. Explore, see what people respond to, see what resonates, see who's watching, see, just like explore, and you'll start to develop language. You'll start to develop like little phrases. It's like, oh, that's my little phrase. I say things all the time that, you know, energy, mental energy leaks. You just get your own little vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to codify your ideas like, yes, that's my idea. Oh, that's how my idea. And your audience starts to teach you things of what they want from you, where you're like, oh, I didn't even know you guys wanted me to talk about this, but I can talk about that. And then you're going to figure out what they might buy from you, whether it's a conversation with you or something you write or something you audio record, or what do they find valuable enough to give you some money from. But the money over here explore first.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can talk about ideas for the monetization. Over here on the beauty part where your education, that's where the money needs to come from.
Yeah.
It's going to come from you easiest over here. Now, while you're getting your education, do you have like the, can you start earning money in any respect over here or start doing anything?
I'm doing full-time. Yeah, I'm doing it full-time so I can do it in 4 months.
Okay.
Yeah, because if I do it part-time, it'll take me about 8 months. And
really, so you're doing the education, like full-time education?
9 to 5, yeah. Perfect. 6 days a week.
Yeah, so if you can just continue that.
Hunker down and do that.
And while you're doing that, while you're learning what you need to learn for the license, the best thing you can do, even before you start making these videos, I think what I would do during these 4 months, think about this videos, think about ideas for the video, but figure out how am I going to get clients?
Mm-hmm.
So get my license. I know how to get clients.
Clients. Yeah.
That's with, and then get this client acquisition dialed in. And we can talk about all of this in the next 4 months. Client acquisition dialed in, got my license, got a place to work, know how to get clients. And once we got this little machine going over here, then you start making videos over here.
Thank you.
That would be my strategy.
Yeah.
For you.
Clarity.
Thank you. Good. The camera loves you. You should be on camera. Like,
thank you. Clarity.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just want to check in. Helen, do you want to talk about something? Not what we were talking about, but okay, cool.
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts about that stuff and then later. I am finishing up with my first client probably this week, though I'm already learning so much. I think I'm learning about scope creep already because I thought we were doing the living room and yet somehow we're in the hallway and the kitchen. It's okay. Honestly, I wrote down, I am in charge of my own resentments, because like what has been really fun about this is I haven't had any resentment about this whole situation, even though I'm like, that's too much and that's not right. Also learning about timelines in terms of like when stuff is available and how that's going to be, you know, I'll continue to run into that. These are all kind of partial thoughts. I don't know. We'll see what my full question is. The educator versus business hat was really hitting today, because I feel like part of what I'm offering for her is I'm pointing at, like in justifying why I would do something, I'm kind of going like, well, because, you know, this is kind of the rule for, you know, this size art for this piece of whatever. And I'm wondering how much of that, I don't think I'm going to be able to shut myself up about that, because I think I also find it interesting to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if I'm just like kind of dog earing it for in the future, there might be a point where like I'm enjoying teaching and they actually just want to be told what to do. I haven't finished the bit about testimonials in the course, but I'm in the bit about the interview, which I love that idea. And I am immediately, here's the meat. I am immediately about the interview, because I know that I have this impulse to ask, what should I have done better? And like, what else did you need from me that I didn't provide, which are kind of like the more negative questions. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, in the course, I hear you saying kind of like, what was your problem? What did I fix? Why was I the best person? And I like can understand that framework. I see that is good. And whoever's inside here is like, yeah, but also you should get notes. Don't just get a testimonial, get notes. Because she's my first client and because she's a friend, so I would feel comfy getting notes from her. Additional question is, another friend, I mean, listen, all my friends have on some level been like, oh my god, Helen, help me with da 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 da. So that's great. Turning them into clients is the next step. Mm-hmm. Another very close friend, she's also my, she's my trainer who has become a friend. She recently was like, oh my God, you, and then another friend of ours who he and I like kind of talk about this stuff. He like refinishes furniture. It's kind of a different vibe. She's like, you guys have encouraged me so much. He's also, I'm like, I've dug-eared him as like future collaborator. Like, let's sell your furniture. She's like, you guys have inspired me so much. I need you two to help me with my place. She has also said things like, I dream about the day that I can just hand you $10,000 and you do my whole house.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and she's a businesswoman. She runs this gym. Mm-hmm. She's not like, not aware of this. Mm-hmm. I just immediately once again have the like, oh God, am I gonna ask my friend for money? Oh no. Especially because she's looped in the other guy. So she's making it kind of a social thing. I don't know. So I guess I need a kick in the pants about that. And overall, today's conversations have been so wonderful. Thank you, Cricket and Vivian, for your questions. I also just need to, you know, the shame festers in the dark, but I have to call it out that like, as soon as we start talking about, here's the kind of like, we want to only offer them 3 things, not 10 things, so that they want more. Like mm-hmm. part of my business puzzle brain is like, ooh, that's a fun strategy. That's fun. And then there's also a voice that's pretty loud inside that is like, that's manipulation. Mm-hmm. I am a bad person if I do that. So there's all.
This is good stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay. First of all, here's how I would do it. Because I think you do have a great opportunity because this person that you're working with is your friend.
Yeah.
So I would do the whole testimonial interview. So, you know, where were you at and thinking about, and why did you pick me and why did you even pick anybody? All those questions. Take her through the full arc.
Yeah.
That's over. Go, turn great. Thank you so much. I'm only going to ask these next questions to you. I'd like to just shift gears a little bit and you can be super candid with me and then go ahead and go, you know, like, what would you have liked to be included? Is there something I could have done better? Like, I just, if I could hear that from you and just, you know,
yeah.
So do it, but do it very distinctly. This is complete now, shifting gears, not muddled together. And so now I know you're fine that they went into the hallway and the kitchen and the scope creep. How do you think on your next job you're going to handle when it's like, oh, this is great? Because this is a natural thing that happens.
Yeah.
You do the one room and you're like, well, now my entryway looks weird next to this gorgeous. So, right. So then how are you going to handle that?
Well, I think I would have to go back and look at any communication that was in writing. It might have all just been in person. So it's possible that there was just a genuine misunderstanding that she was like, help me with my place. And I heard, help me with my living room. Mm-hmm. So I think going forward, getting some clarity about like, what is the scope? And let's both agree on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess because I really don't want to get into the space where I ever have to be like, well, that's a different room. So that's another chunk of money. Like, yuck. I hate that so much. But I also can understand that that could happen. It's just like, I want to be able to set these things ahead of time so that then I'm just referencing something we already talked about.
1,000,000%.
In the moment being like, well, that's more money.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 2 things.
Okay.
The first thing is after you have an initial like, oh my God, I want you to do this. Great. So we're doing this. Excellent. So here's my prices. Yep. 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 You discussed what it's going to be.
I think that might be helpful is I think I need to have multiple prices. Cause I think it was such a like to get me to say a price
Right. Price.
Yeah. That, I think I need multiple prices.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. So once you've agreed on everything, here's the price. Mm-hmm. And this is, then you just type up a little one page agreement
about,
this is what we've agreed on. And it can just be a template that you just fill in the blanks with your clients and then they sign it. It's not a contract. Call it an agreement because it's not binding. You guys don't have lawyers. It's just, it's literally so we can both be on the same page. It's a page, a piece of paper, one page, so we can be on the same page. And it's something you can both refer back to. And that's, but here's the magic that I'm going to give you. It is one word and it is going to serve you so well and help you get out of sticky situations. Phase. You are going to refer, because a project has phases. So if I had a friend who was like, oh my God, I can't wait for the day I can give you $10,000 and we can just do the place. My response to her would be like, oh, well, I've got great news for you. If you think of this project in phases, we can totally get started on phase one and it would only cost you about probably this much.
Yeah.
Phases. So now let's say I've hired you. We have an agreement. It's going to be my living room. I'm going to pay you this month. I mean, this much. We're working on the living room. And I'm like, oh, hey. So like, I'm thinking a mirror in the entryway. And then I had some idea. I just want to run a few things by you in the kitchen. And you're like, I love that this is inspiring you to now look at your home differently. It's a natural thing. It happens. And we can talk about that would be like phase two of our project. And we can totally start talking about that if you feel like, you know, you are ready to start phase two.
Yeah.
Or we can just complete phase one. Now they have a choice. Stick with phase one or add, start talking about phase two. And when you talk about phase two, you do it the same way. You talk about what it is. You state your prices. Then you write up a page of agreement. She signs it. She pays you. And phase two begins.
Yeah. I wonder if this will become easier when they're not my friends.
Yes, it 100% will. Because then you're not doing favors for friends. Of course it will be easier. And what will be lovely is just as what happened with your trainer is sometimes your clients will then become your friends.
Right.
You know, it's great. But the friendship thing, I have friends who have become my client and I've had clients who have become my friends. But the only way that actually works is when the person themselves understand there's a difference here. I'm wearing a different hat. For example, I have a dear, 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 like great friend. If she's over to my house and we're like having lunch and we're kicking back and she's telling me, you know, something's happening with her husband and blah, blah, blah. Now the coach in me knows like, oh, I totally have thoughts about that, but she's not asking me for the thoughts. And we are having a peer-to-peer friend-to-friend conversation. And really my role is probably just to listen and be like, oh my God, like be on her team.
Yeah.
If she asked me, like, you know, in the moment, if she's like, what do you think? And I'd be like, well, blah, blah, blah. But I feel under no obligation to be like, well, here's your 7-point strategy for this. Like, you know, and because it's a whole other draw of energy for me to wear my coaching hat.
Yeah.
When I don't have that on, I am not interacting with my friends like a coach, you know, and they know that if they really want me to zero in on them and their life and their particulars, they pay me for that because I have to like work at that. And the hard part comes when you love what you do. God, I couldn't believe people were paying me to organize. I was like, I cannot fucking believe I get to have all this fun and get a check at the end of it. It felt ridiculous, but I was like, I'll take it. Yeah. So, but you have to honor the fact that you're doing a service for somebody.
Yeah.
And if you don't take it seriously, then they don't take it seriously. And here's the thing, and this applies definitely to Cricket, and Vivian, it will apply to you too. Let's talk about the manipulation thing, because you're not wrong. There's a book called Persuasion by Robert Cialdini. It's a very famous book. Every single person marketing on the internet, I guarantee goddamn tea, has read that book. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's seven principles, principle of reciprocity, blah, blah, blah. You read that book and he's just showing you, he's like, these are the principles. This is how human nature works in terms of this. And I think he even says it in the book. He's like, all of this can be used for the dark side or the light side. And he's like, please don't use it for the dark side. Because something like the thing of reciprocity. So it has been proven scientifically studied. If you give something to somebody first, they feel intrinsically kind of like obligated to give you something back. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a stranger, like this is all proven with like strangers and stuff. That's a neutral thing. It has a light side and a dark side. And yes, every single principle in business can be completely used for manipulation. Marketing stuff, PR, like all that stuff can totally and is used for bad. But here is the reason for me that I embrace the way it can be used for good. When you're giving someone all the answers, Cricket's just like, let me give you all the information you could possibly need. And you're giving it to somebody for free or where they've just paid a little bit. They don't have skin in the game. And when we don't have skin in the game, we don't really do anything with the information. Yeah, goes over our heads like, okay, that's great, but moving on. That's why people just like try to build businesses, free tip, free tip, free tip, free tip, free tip, free tip. It's like, that'll take you a little ways, but you'll get to a point where you're like, yeah, that free stuff, you're just gonna always be digging around and wasting your time for the answer when you can just fucking buy the course and have someone tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, how fast do you want to go? Like, so what you're doing when you're pointing out the problem, like, okay, here are the seven reasons why your living room doesn't quite feel right. It doesn't look right. You're just like, something is not cohesive. There's usually seven things I look at when I work with clients. We look at the windows, we look at the floor, we look at the furniture up against the walls, like, you know, all the tips. And, but there's certain ways to solve for each of these seven things. These are the things I take into consideration when I'm working with a client. We have to talk about how you use the room, like how the people who use the room. We also have to talk about like, are you renting or what can you actually do with the room? Because there's options. There's different things for different things. So I need to know that. We'd also need a conversation about budget and about your style. Maybe a mirror should go there, but what kind of mirror? And there's so many options. And that's where my clients get confused. And that's why they find working with me just to be very clarifying and calming and blah, blah, blah. Now, notice I haven't given you one solution. I've just painted the picture of the problem, though. So I'm clearer about the problem, which leaves me with two roads. I think I can figure this out on my own, or I cannot figure this out on my own, nor do I want to. So I'm just going to hire somebody to help me. That's my road when it comes to design. Oh, no, let me just hire somebody to help me. And when you present, when you stand here and go, I have all the answers. I've just told you, here's the problem. I see your problem. What you're teaching them is you see them. I see your problem clearly. I know what you feel. Yeah. You feel this, this, don't you feel this? Yeah. When you look at it, yeah, I get it. I get you. And then the price and the reason you're withholding the actual guidance is because they need to step up to the plate. How do you know they're a stranger or even a friend? How do you know they're going to step up to the plate and go the distance? Mm-hmm. You don't. How do you? So you go, okay, well, I'll take a chance on you with my skill if you take a chance on me with your money. And that's called doing business. Mm-hmm. I will give you my time, my energy, and my expertise, but you got to give me something. And it's called money. Yeah. I'm not bartering. I'm doing a service for you. Yeah. The money is about them stepping up to the plate, about them choosing to take this seriously as you're going to take it. Even if you're having fun, you're still taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not manipulation. Because if you just give the farm away and all the answers, they'll go, oh, that's neat. And then you're exhausted and you have no money and they walk away and aren't going to do anything anyway. And it's a big fucking waste of time. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that clarify the manipulation? Yeah.
Yes. And it actually, it dovetails into something I want to talk about later.
Okay. And the thing is, I'm so glad, Helen, to hear that you have that little voice inside you.
Yeah.
I've got that voice too. It's like, I don't want to rip people off.
Yeah.
I read a lot about this stuff because I'm like, whoa, okay. I don't want to be icky.
And especially like, if you know that you can do it, because some of this stuff, I feel like I've naturally learned to do in my other job, understand it. And it feels a little like with great power comes great responsibility.
But of course,
yeah,
of course. And when you don't have that little voice inside you, you're a sociopath because you have no conscience. So it's better for the world to have designers who are like, you know, concerned about having people feel comfortable. But people also, I think sometimes people who are sensitive to not wanting people to feel like they're ripping them off, they feel that the only way they can give comfort is by like, oh, undercharging or being kind of vague about the price or weird or scope creep. And it's like, no, you know what else makes people feel comfortable? Clear boundaries. Clear clarity is a big warm hug. It's like, I understand this. We both understand this. I'm going to hold the container and I'm going to lead us through the project. That's what I'm fucking paying you for. Yes, please lead me through the project. Like, don't let me get out of control. It's great.
Yeah.
And people, scope creep happens for a lot of reasons. One reason would be someone trying to take advantage of you. But more often the case is a person has ADD and they're just their brain side. They're like, look over here. They get distracted or they get super enthusiastic and they're like, oh, let's do more. And you're just like, you know, so there's a lot of benign reasons why scope creep happens. Right. And in your job, it's going to be a thing, because once you get one room looking nice, you realize how ugly the other rooms look. And then you're like, oh, one of my dear friends just did her kitchen is now like out of a magazine. It's so, and it was such a huge transformation from the kitchen she had. It was like complete, but literally we were standing in it because I was one of the first people to see it. So what do you feel about the rest of your house? She's like, I hate the rest of my house now. She's like, now I want the rest of my house to look like my kitchen. I'm like, yeah. And so of course she did as much as she could then with the rest of the rooms because their kitchen just looked weird now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to happen, but you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
But a great way. So one last thing I want to say. So this gal who's super, your friend, trainer person, who's like, we're going to get the furniture guy and you, we're just going to all have fun together. It's like, no, you're not. You're like, oh, if you want to initiate phase one of this design project for less than $10,000, I'm totally happy to add you onto my client roster. But we also want to make sure about timing so that I have space for you in my calendar. Let those start getting used to those kind of phrases coming out of your mouth. Yeah, this isn't, no.
Yeah.
And this is something I want you to get really, Cricket had to get really good at this too. It's like, just because you're enjoying it doesn't mean you can't get paid for it. You know what I want? I want you to get paid to act. How much do you enjoy acting? You know what's interesting though? If someone paid you to act, you wouldn't be like, oh, no. I love it so much. Forget about it.
Yeah. I'd be like, thank you. Do you know how much I put into this?
Yes. So I want you to think of it. And I want you to also think that this interior stuff is supporting your acting.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you need to pay me because
Remember,
when you're doing a service, what they are also paying for, you're over here working on your life and someone taps you on the shoulder and goes, oh, can you just focus on my life for a minute? And you're like, well, if you pay me, because otherwise I'd prefer to focus over here on my life. So always remember that if someone doesn't want to be your client or doesn't want to pay you, great. Now you just have some more time to go do your own stuff or go find another client. No big deal. When it becomes kind of no big deal, like, oh, I'm totally happy to work with you if you pay me. Otherwise, I've got a million things that I'm really interested in doing over here. Mm-hmm. Then it just is like their choice. Do you want to? No? Yes? Yeah. No big deal. You're not denying them anything. They can go find somebody else. Go to YouTube, you know. But mm-hmm. if they want the pleasure of working with you. Yeah. Awesome. Yay. All right. So that's it. We'll be back in July. First and third Sundays, although July is going to change a little bit, I think. So, but those dates will be posted. And Helen, hang out and we'll finish our conversation. And otherwise, thank you, Cricket. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you, Christine.
I'm so excited. Bye, thank you, Kate. Hi, Kate.
This has been so helpful. Good luck, Helen. Good luck, Viv. Hi, Kate.
Good luck, everyone. Yeah, so proud of you girls, ladies, women.
Exactly.
Very good.